Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And joining us now on a post-draft Monday, TD, Teron Davenport. TD, always appreciate chatting with you. The Tennessee Titans, now with the draft in the rear view, did not address the wide receiver position until the seventh round. Now, I know that there's still June 1st cuts. I know that there are still ways for the Tennessee Titans to continue to build up that wide receiver room and to at least add bodies. But how do you feel about the Titans not addressing the receiver position until the last round of the draft?
Well, I think what it shows is that they felt there was other value at different positions, and it further shows their theme of making sure that they stuck to the board. They didn't reach. I mean, we've seen reaches in the past that didn't result in good situations. They ended up getting a guy in Colton Dow, who I know a lot of NFL teams were interested in. And, I mean, it's a seventh-round pick. There's still more that they need to do to invest in that receiver room. But I think what I gather out of that, especially with the Josh Wivie pick, is they're going to run a lot of 12 and 13 personnel and, you know, just have Traylon Burks out there going against one-on-one coverage, and he's just going to have to win.
Yeah, you're right, TD. I think that was a big shocker for all Titan fans when, you know, you go past the second, you go past the third, they don't have a fourth, and then you look at the fifth round and you're figuring, is this team, which does have a need at wide receiver, will they ever draft a wide receiver?
Yeah.
Hence, they draft one later, I think, what, seventh round? Mm-hmm. But that doesn't necessarily feel the need. Yes, it may, you know, give you some depth, but does it give you playmakers? And, you know, we had Rand on earlier, and, you know, he said basically, listen, it's not over. You know, you got June 1st. You have, you know, cuts when camp start. So they're always looking to upgrade this roster, more importantly, the receiver room. So with that being said, how much do you think they can upgrade this receiver room? Because if you're talking about going out and getting a marquee player, well, one, you're hoping he get cut. And then two, you got to pay him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the thing. I don't really believe that DeAndre Hopkins or that type is within grasp, just because, as you said, what you have to pay. And frankly, I wouldn't pay what would be required for him in that situation. But I think you look at a guy like a Corey Davis, maybe a reunion there. There's still guys out there, it just completely slipped my mind his name. The Giants tried to make sign him to a big deal, and then they released him. It totally slips my mind. He was with the Lions. So you got him. There's a few free agents, but, I mean, at this point, you know, unless you could orchestrate some type of trade, I think the big thing that you should probably do is look at a lot of these teams that drafted receivers. You know, you take the Bears, for instance. They drafted, Tyler Scott, and they traded for DJ Moore, and during the season they acquired Chase Claypool. Does that make a guy like Darnell Mooney available? He would fit perfectly in what the Titans want to do. So, you know, that's an example of how something could shake loose and maybe give you an opportunity to add a player, and all things become back in good shape, you know, when you add a solid receiver.
Now, if they can add Darnell Mooney to the mix, I mean, that would be an upgrade, I think, at the receiver position. Then you give your team a true number one and number two, which I do still believe that Traylon Burks is a number one guy. You know, if he's healthy, and that's a big if, but if he's healthy, then I think he gives you some of what A.J. Brown gave you, and he's a big body. And then if you can get a guy like a Mooney, I mean, I liked the guy when he came out in the draft 2 years ago, and he's proven me right because he's been able to, you know, be a key cog in what they do offensively from the passing game in Chicago.
Yeah, no doubt. And, I mean, you talk about number one receiver. Well, it takes one to know one. So, you know, if you're saying it, that holds weight. And with Mooney, you know, he's someone we had on talking with TD, you know, when he was coming out of Tulane, and definitely agree, you know, if a guy like that could be shaken loose from a team, now you're working with something. So I don't think, as I said, it's not over. You never know what move a team will go ahead and do, you know, as they begin to reshuffle the roster after the draft. That's why I say it's really important to look at teams that acquire receivers.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, give me your assessment before you knew that he was actually now drafted by the Titans. But what were your thoughts pre-draft on Tyjae Spears?
Yeah, I always liked him. He was actually my number three running back. I remember watching Senior Bowl film, especially like in the one-on-ones. There was one where he went against, I believe it was an Auburn linebacker, and it was one of those like real long developing routes, but the way he was moving in it, how he cut and came out of it and caught the ball, I was like, yeah, this guy is all right. And then you also look at, you know, that game against USC. I tell you what, he cut them up, you know, and I think I didn't know about the knees until later in the process, like after the combine and all that. Definitely cause for concern, but, I mean, Frank Gore did it, Willis McGahee did it. You know, there's other guys who came out and had knee issues, you know, were able to have, especially in Frank Gore's case, you're talking about a 16-year career.
So, you know, with all the knowledge you had about a lot of these prospects, how surprised were you? Like, let's get specific on one thing. It does look like that at 81, they're sitting there and feeling like after they've made the Will Levis trade, our percentage chance is not bad of having a wide receiver we like be there. Then all of a sudden, boom, 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 here go three guys that might have been on their radar, like, whoops. So, you know, is there anything they could have done about that without giving up more assets? They didn't have a lot of picks to begin with. So how did you feel about that whole dynamic?
Well, I think when they traded pick 71 and 41 or 72 and 41 to go up to 33 and fall back to 81, I think it was.
Yeah, 81.
I think with that, they looked at how they thought the board would work as far as the receivers that would come off, and to them, bumping up to get their quarterback of the future was a bigger thing than the receivers that they may have missed out on, whether, you know, Cedric Tillman, Jalin Hyatt. But I think also when you look at some of the guys that were also on there that I would have said, hey, third round, pick, you know, A.T. Perry, pick Tyler Scott, pick those guys third round. You know what I mean? I would have said that, but lo and behold, these were still guys that were available in the fifth. So it's really interesting how that whole thing played out. And I think it was just a matter of them looking like, hey, you know what? We'll place a bigger emphasis on getting the quarterback of the future than a receiver that could help now.
TD is with us. TD, what do you think the drafting of Will Levis means for the futures of Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel with the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, well, I think it's pointing towards Ryan Tannehill will probably not be those two final years of the voidable years will probably be just that, voided. And 2024, it's looks like it's going to be Will Levis. And the thing is, you know, I feel as though Mike Vrabel's future is going to be tied into how well Levis could be able to come in and take over, you know. And I think when you look at some of the things that match, this is probably one of the better situations for him, just as far as the scheme familiarity, the similarities there, and just how his skill set matches that play action at times downfield passing attack that they want to have.
Last one for you, TD. I think that the excitement of Will Levis is, you know, of course that comes with the territory of the quarterback and especially exactly how the Tennessee Titans got Will Levis in the second round. But outside of Levis, which draft pick amongst the Tennessee Titans' six draft picks are you most excited to watch potentially fit into this team and watch develop from now until the beginning of the season?
Yeah, I'd probably say Josh Wiley, just considering how much they allowed him to do at Cincinnati, just as far as the different roles and just picturing, you know, 12 personnel sets with he and Chig Okonkwo, that's pretty exciting. You know, he's a guy that you could put in that slot, you could flex him, you know, and do a lot of things. And he's going to give you matchup problems, you know, at 6'6". That's always a good thing to have, that type of height in the red zone. And I saw comparisons to Kobe Fleener, if you remember him back when he was coming out of Stanford. And, you know, he ended up being a guy that, you know, was a pretty solid red zone threat himself. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they fit that in there.
TD, appreciate your time and appreciate all of your coverage throughout the weekend. And I know we've got some more good stuff coming out very soon. So thank you, TD. We'll chat with you next week.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate it. And check out the Will Levis post we got up there now. He kind of went through the call that he got from Vrabel and Rand Carthon.
Awesome. Thank you, TD. We'll chat with you
Thanks
soon.
Thanks a lot, TD.
Yep. All right.
All right, coming up next, we've asked TD Rand Carthon questions about this one specific player and this one specific pick. We'll give our thoughts on the draft overall as a whole and this specific player coming up next. Caroline Willie-DeMace, 1025-1063 The Game.